The systems development process is a set of activities, methods, best practices, deliverables, and automated tools used by stakeholders to develop and continuously improve information systems and software. Topic 2 covers the systems development lifecycle, or SDLC. Organizations need to adopt and follow a standardized system development process. Using a consistent process for systems development creates efficiencies, allowing management to shift resources between projects. A consistent methodology produces consistent documentation, reducing lifetime costs to maintain the systems. The U.S. government has mandated that any organization seeking to develop software for the government must adhere to certain quality management requirements. A consistent process promotes quality. Many other organizations have aggressively committed to total quality management goals in order to increase their competitive advantage. One alternative to the SDLC is the Capability Maturity Model, CMM. It's a standardized framework for assessing the maturity level of an organization's information systems development and management processes and products. It is organized into 5 maturity levels: initial with inconsistent methods, repeatable with consistent project management, defined where consistent processes are used, managed with processes managed and measured, and optimized with continuous process improvement. Another SDLC alternative is the FAST, or Framework for the Application of Systems Thinking, which is a hypothetical method used in Witten-Bentley to demonstrate a representative systems development process. It uses 8 phases to define periodic milestones and the deliverables: scope, definition, problem analysis, requirements analysis, logical design, decision analysis, physical design and integration, construction and testing, and installation and delivery. In the SDLC waterfall model, the result of each phase is called a deliverable, or end product, which flows into the next phase. The dashed lines show the usual interaction between adjacent phases. Phase 1, or systems planning, is also known as the explore phase. Deliverable is a preliminary project investigation report and can include a project initiation form, regulatory assessment form, and tailoring plan template. Phase 2, systems analysis, or defined phase, deliverable is the system requirements document, which is a formal document that communicates the requirements of a proposed system to key stakeholders and serves as a contract for the system projects. This phase may include, but is not limited to, other deliverables, such as the business case, total cost of ownership spreadsheet, change impact plan, commitment chart, communications plan, infrastructure design, project charter, project plan, project roles, norms, and ground rules, project schedule, project snapshot, risk assessment and management plan, scope statement, service level agreement, user requirement specifications, and the list goes on. Phase 3, systems design, or design and build phase, deliverable is the system design specification, which is given to the system builders to be the blueprint for developing and testing code. As in the previous phase, deliverables here can include a configuration management plan, data migration plan and report, detailed design specifications and functional requirement specifications, installation plan, project issue tracking and management, status reports, system architecture diagram, test plan, traceability matrix, and training plan and administration. Phase 4, systems implementation, which includes the test and deploy phases, deliverable is a completely functioning information system. Some documents coming out of this phase include an installation verification and report, release checklist, test sets, test plan summary report, post-implementation review, and validation summary report. Phase 5, systems support and security, the management, operational, and technical controls designed to protect IT resources from loss, damage, or misuse. Deliverable is an operational system that is properly maintained, supported, and secured. Systems planning involves figuring out what to do, the analysis part, and then determining how to do it, the managing part. To analyze is to examine methodically and in detail the constitution or structure of something, typically for purposes of explanation and interpretation. A business case captures the reasoning for initiating a project or task. To analyze the business case, then, is to examine closely the issues with which the company is confronted. Managing is the planning, organizing, staffing, leading, or directing, and controlling of an effort for the purpose of accomplishing a goal. Systems projects are temporary endeavors undertaken to create one or more business products according to a specified business case. Project management is the discipline of planning, organizing, securing, and managing resources to bring about the successful completion of the project goals and objectives. There are many different ways to analyze the situation, but here is a series of 8 steps that may be considered. 1. Analyze the company's history, development, and growth. 2. Identify the company's internal strengths and weaknesses. 3. Analyze the external environment. 4. Evaluate the SWOT analysis. SWOT, S-W-O-T, represents strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. 5. Analyze corporate-level strategy. 6. Analyze business-level strategy. 7. Analyze structure and control systems. And 8. Make recommendations. The project plan is the overall framework for managing costs and schedules. Project planning is the identification of project tasks and the estimate of completion times and costs. Project scheduling is the creation of a specific timetable that shows tasks, task dependencies, and critical tasks that might delay the project. Project monitoring and controlling requires guiding, supervising, and coordinating the project team's workload. This means monitoring the progress, evaluating the results, and taking corrective action when necessary to control the project and stay on target. Project reporting tasks involve regular progress reports to management, users, and the project team itself. The main objective of the systems analysis phase is to build a logical model of the new information system. The deliverable or end product is a system requirements document, which is that overall design for the new system. Each activity or task within the systems analysis phase has an end product and one or more milestones. Requirements modeling involves fact-finding to describe the current system and identify the requirements for the new system. These requirements include inputs and outputs, processes, performance, and security. Inputs are the data entering the system and can be manual or automated. Outputs refer to the electronic or printed information produced by the system. Processes are the logical rules applied to transform the data into meaningful information. Performance is the system characteristics such as speed, volume, capacity, availability, and reliability. Security includes hardware, software, and procedural controls to safeguard and protect the system and its data from internal or external threats. Data and process modeling represents system data and processes graphically using traditional structured analysis techniques. Structured analysis treats processes and data as separate components. Object modeling is a popular modeling technique used in place of or along with the structured analysis techniques. Object-oriented analysis, OO, combines data and the processes that act on the data into things called objects. Objects represent the people, things, transactions, and events that affect the system. It's important to consider logical versus physical models at this point. Logical modeling deals with gathering business requirements and converting those requirements into a model. Examples include the entity relationship diagrams and business process diagrams. Physical modeling involves the actual design according to the requirements that were established during logical modeling. It is hardware and software specific and includes the server model diagrams, which show tables, columns, and relationships within a database. Development strategies include evaluation of alternative solutions, finishing the system requirements document, and presentation of the system's requirement document to management. Requirements management is the process of establishing the base capabilities of a project and relies on requirements modeling used in the systems planning phase of the SDLC. Building accurate models means that you can guarantee the correctness of your requirements. This involves fact-finding to describe the current system and identify the requirements for the new system. Various fact-finding techniques, such as interviews, surveys, observation, and sampling, are used. Requirements must be documented, actionable, measurable, testable, related to identified business needs or opportunities, and defined to a level of detail sufficient for system design. System requirement checklists are employed to help prepare systems to meet the system requirements for successful deployment. One way to aid or guarantee future growth capabilities of the system is to build a scalable system. Scalability is a desirable property of a system, a network, or a process, which indicates its ability to either handle growing amounts of work in a graceful manner or to be enlarged. A scalable system offers a better return on the initial investment. You need information about projected future volume for all outputs, inputs, and processes for evaluation. Here's a fun fact. FURPS, F-U-R-P-S, is an acronym for types of requirements: functionality, usability, reliability, performance, and supportability. JAD focuses on team-based fact-finding, which is only one phase of the development process. It is a popular, user-oriented technique for fact-finding and requirements modeling. It's not linked to a specific development methodology, so systems developers use JAD whenever group input and interaction are desired. Originally, JAD was designed to bring system developers and users of varying backgrounds and opinions together in a productive as well as creative environment. The meetings were a way of obtaining quality requirements and specifications. The structured approach provides a good alternative to traditional serial interviews by system analysts. Key participants include the executive sponsor or system owner, the facilitator or session leaders to keep the group on track, a scribe to record and publish the proceedings of the meeting but not contribute information, other stakeholders and observers. You may be asked to join a joint application development team sometime in your career. RAD is a more compressed version of the full systems development process. RAD refers to a kind of software development methodology that uses minimal planning in favor of rapid prototyping. Users are involved at every step by participating in prototyping, writing test cases, and performing unit testing. RAD allows for a fast-track approach to a full spectrum of system development tasks, including planning, design, construction, and implementation. Recent trends lean toward the agile methods, which stress intense interaction between system developers and users. There are many specific agile development methods. Most promote development, teamwork, collaboration, and process adaptability throughout the lifecycle of the project. Agile methods break tasks into small increments with minimal planning and do not directly involve long-term planning. A process is a procedure and a tool is an implement to do work. A data flow diagram is a graphical tool to represent the flow of data through an information system. DFD details follow on the next slide. The data dictionary is a collection of descriptions of the data items in a data model for the benefit of programmers and others. Process description tools describe the process logic. The data flow diagram, or DFD, shows how data moves through an information system without showing program logic or the processing steps. A set of DFDs provides a logical model showing what the system does, not how it does it. If the focus was on implementation issues at this point, the search for the most effective system design would be restricted. There are four basic symbols to represent processes, data flows, data stores, and external entities. A process receives input data and produces output that has a different content, form, or both. This is the business logic or business rules that transform the data and produces the required results. The process symbol is a rectangle with rounded corners and is named with a verb and noun, as in fill order or assign code. It is sometimes referred to as a black box because the underlying details and logic of the process are hidden. The DFD process can show additional levels of detail by creating a more in-depth DFD, revealing the process's internal workings. Continuing on, the information system can be modeled as a series of increasingly detailed pictures. A data flow is a path for data to move from one part of the information system to another. It represents one or more data items. For example, a data flow could be made of a single data item, such as a patient identifier, or it could include a set of data, such as all the information in a prescription. The data flow symbol is a line with an arrowhead and is named with a noun and an adjective if needed, as in payment or patient and grading parameters. Because a process changes the content or form of the data, at least one data flow must enter and one data flow must exit each process symbol. In the DFD, a data store represents data the system stores because one or more processes need to use the data at a later time. The data store is often shown on the DFD as a flat rectangle open on the right side and closed on the left. The name of the data store consists of a noun and adjective if needed, and it appears between the lines to identify the data it contains, such as drugs or daily payments. The data store is connected to a process with a data flow. The external entity is a rectangle that can be shaded to look three-dimensional. The DFD shows only external entities that provide data to the system or receive output from the system. DFD entities are also called terminators because they are data origins or final destinations. System analysts use the term source to identify entities that supply data to the system, and sink to identify entities that receive data from the system. An external entity may be both a sink and a source, but must be connected to a process by a data flow. The data flow diagram doesn't show the detailed contents of a data flow because that information is included in the data dictionary. The data dictionary, or data repository, is a central storehouse of information about the system's data. It defines and describes all data elements and meaningful combinations of data elements. An analyst uses the data dictionary to collect, document, and organize specific facts about the system, including the contents of data flows, data stores, entities, and processes. A data element or data item or field is the smallest piece of data that has meaning within the information system. Every data element must be documented in the data dictionary with precise, rigorous definitions so that both user and systems analyst will have a common understanding of all inputs, outputs, components of stores, and intermediate calculations. Examples include patient name, appointment time. These data elements are combined into records or data structures. A record is a meaningful combination of related data elements that is included in a data flow or kept in a data store. An example is the patient record, which includes but is not limited to the patient name, social security number, telephone number, and insurance name. The data dictionary defines the data elements by doing the following: describing the meaning of the flows and stores shown in the data flow diagrams, describing the composition of aggregate packets of data moving along the flows, that is, complex packets, such as a customer address, that can be broken into more elementary items, such as city, state, and postal code, describing the composition of packets of data in stores, specifying relevant values and units of elementary chunks of information in the data flows and data stores, describing the details of relationships between stores that are highlighted in an entity relationship diagram. Data stores and data flows are based on data structures, which in turn are made up of data elements. Data flows are connected to data stores, entities, and processes. Correct documentation of these relationships is necessary to keep the data dictionary consistent with the data flow diagrams. Modular design is based on combinations of three logical or control structures, which serve as building blocks for the process. The three control structures are sequence, selection, and iteration. The next slide gives more detail on these structures. Structured English is a subset of standard English that describes logical processes clearly and accurately. There are rules. Use only the three control structures. Use indentation for readability. And use a limited vocabulary that includes terms used in the data dictionary and specific words that describe the processing rules. Structured English resembles pseudocode, which is used by programmers in program design. Decision tables show a logical structure with all possible combinations of conditions and resulting actions. Because each condition has two possible values, yes or no, true or false, the number of rules doubles each time you add a condition. Decision tables are a great way to describe a complex set of conditions. They're easy to construct and understand, and programmers find it easy to work from a decision table when developing code. Decision trees are graphical representations of the conditions, actions, and rules found in a decision table. They show the logic structure in a horizontal form that resembles a tree with the roots at the left and the branches to the right. A blank decision tree is shown on this slide. Whether to use a decision table or a decision tree is often a matter of personal preference. A decision table is a good way to handle complex combinations of conditions, while a decision tree is a good way to describe a relatively simple process. Each logical structure has a single entry and exit point. The step or process is shown with a rectangle, a decision is shown with a diamond shape, and the logic follows the lines in the direction indicated by the arrows. Data flows through these controls during program processing. One or more of the steps might represent a subprocess containing additional logical structures. The three control structures are combined in various ways to describe processing logic. Sequence. Perform each step or process in order, one after another. Selection. Perform the step or steps based upon the answer to a question. Iteration. Perform each step or process over and over until some condition is met.